ladies and gentlemen, I really enjoy doing this syndicated radio show because I get to talk to so many neat people. And the new book is out. It's already a bestseller. Buzz Aldrin, Magnificent Desolation. And he really doesn't need much of an introduction. What, a doctor, colonel in the military, one of the first guys to walk on the moon with Neil Armstrong. Just amazing. And I got his book about 2 weeks ago. I've read almost all of it. One of the best books by an astronaut I've read. I love the name, Magnificent Desolation. Here it is as we simulcast on the Internet as well for the PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Buzz Aldrin, it's great to have you here with us.
I'm happy to be with you. Life is great. The sun is beginning to shine here in foggy L.A.
Absolutely, out there in Los Angeles. There's so much to get into. Why the name Magnificent Desolation?
Well, I wasn't given the challenge or really the opportunity of a formalized utterance on joining Neo on the surface of the moon. There was a little bit of conversation that included the word magnificent and then beautiful. And so the two words just came together as a comparison of opposites. And so I said Magnificent Desolation. And the magnificence really was referring to the progress of the human species, from coming down from the trees to automobiles, airplanes, rockets, spaceships, and then journeying, and two people from the planet Earth walking around on that object that humans had gazed up and looked at for all of civilization. So that was a magnificent testimonial to the progress that this human intelligent species was able to do. But we were there at the most desolate site I could imagine. It had not changed in hundreds of thousands of years from just what we were looking at. The kind of rolling terrain, all shades of gray, maybe a couple of more centimeters of dust accrued in hundreds of thousands of years, 14 days of daylight, then darkness, no atmosphere, black sky, Earth sitting up there, almost straight up, and then the sun moving over because of the moon's rotation about the Earth. Just a forbidding place, not at all friendly or hospitable. So
well,
it was desolate.
We've got a break in a moment. We've got a long segment coming up, plenty of time to go over the book. But I wanted to ask you, I mean, obviously you had fear, concern on this mission, but what was it like to actually be there and actually carry out this dangerous mission? I mean, it's one thing to psychologically get ready for it, but another thing to actually be there.
Well, it was for several years, 5-6 years, the culmination of everything we had been working for. NASA since 1961, when the president said that we should go to the moon, and my Air Force career, piloting and studying my doctorate at MIT and manned orbital rendezvous was just all pointing toward some humans being able to get to the moon, and there I was about to be one of them. And it's not a fearful, not a scary, not a worrisome. We learn how to deal with those things just naturally by realizing that that fear, worry are all...
Okay, we've got a break. We've got a break, Mr. Aldrin. We'll be right back with Buzz Aldrin. Stay with us.
Robert Beadle's new book, Here's What You Do, was written for anyone who wants to survive the upcoming and ongoing financial storm. Get prepared and go to hereswhatyoudo.net and buy the $6 book. He is also trying to help us by running for Congress to stop the thievery and loss of liberties. Please arm yourself with his guide and go to hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Hereswhatyoudo.net. Again, hereswhatyoudo.net.
Wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
In the New World Order's war against humanity, Barack Obama is the tip of the spear.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
The Obama deception completely destroys the myth that Obama is working for the best interest of the American people.
Well, Obama's already fudging. He's fudged since day one in this election.
If you have a demagogue with a fanatical mass movement of personality cultists who is imposing the program of a group of extreme bankers and finance oligarchs, that's fascism.
It's not about left or right. It's about a one-world government. This film documents who Obama works for, the lies he is told, and his real agenda. Get your copy of The Obama Deception today at InfoWars.com or download it in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. The Obama Deception. The people strike back.
Hello, this is Alex Jones with some important questions. If you're going into a battle and they give you a rifle and a sidearm, how much ammunition do you want? My answer would be all I can get. In the battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your only ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it? Now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Can you buy it without proper identification? Will there be any food? Will it make your children sick? If there's a quarantine and you can't feed yourself, will you go to the gathering center and be immunized? You wipe out all these problems if you have a good food supply. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. I'm Alex Jones. I want all of you good guys to live to fight another day. Call 1-800-409-5633 or check it out on the web at efoodsdirect.com. Again, that number, 1-800-409-5633.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Well, he's Buzz Aldrin, second Homo sapiens sapien to walk on the surface of the moon. And he's got a long bio. He really doesn't need any introduction. But his new book is Magnificent Desolation. The website is buzzaldrin.com. We've got links to that up on my sites, InfoWars.com, and the other sites, InfoWars.net. Your book gets into your idea of a unified space mission or direction. I notice we haven't gone back to the moon except with probes since the early 70s, and you talk about that in the book as well. So tell us about your idea, with a doctorate in all of this, and as one of the most famous astronauts, your vision of what you think we should do.
Yeah, it's as you just said, unified space vision, not mission. It's many, many missions over a long period of time. And we came to a real tipping point with the accident of the Columbia on February 1st of 2003. That left us with only three orbiters, and we had to solve the problem of the safety of continuing to fly the space shuttle and the unfinished space station, and what is the future going to be. Before that accident, NASA was considering flying the shuttle until 2020, another 10 years from now, and maybe even 2025. And now it looked as though that was just not a good thing to do. My engineers were trying to work the problem in coming up with a modified shuttle launch system that could take up a replacement of the shuttle orbiter to take people up, but not large amounts of cargo, at least in the same spacecraft. And we were looking, my group of engineers were also looking for what kind of a space vision should we have in the future. But the accident and NASA's studies during the summer, combined with the accident board, came up with a recommendation that that the cargo and crew be separated, but not just in the spacecraft, but on the launch vehicle. And I was concerned that that opened the door to have NASA develop two different rockets, one of them just for the crew and one of them just for the lander and the cargo, and I felt that was wrong. But NASA was pursuing sort of behind closed doors what they thought they should do for the future, and when they did come out with their vision for space exploration in January of 2004, it involved terminating the shuttle in 2010, finishing the space station, building spacecraft and rockets somehow to go back to the moon by 2020. I kind of went along with that. That sounded reasonable, but then as the progress in the launch vehicles that I disagreed with began to bog us down, I felt we need to look really closely examine why do we want to go back to the moon with humans when by the time we get there, it'll be 50 years from when we did it in 1969 and beyond. And shouldn't we be following the shuttle with something that has 6 to 8 people in it but no cargo and lands on a runway? And shouldn't we be doing other things for a long-duration space flight in the direction of Mars? Isn't that where we should try and go with our major resources?
Well, Dr. Aldrin, Buzz Aldrin, well, didn't Wernher von Braun draw up the space shuttle back in like the mid-30s, the idea for it? Isn't it ancient comparatively in the space age?
Well, yes. What he felt we needed correctly was a laboratory in space and a reusable way to have rockets and spacecraft take people and cargo up to the... But that's two things, and we couldn't build the laboratory till we had the shuttle, and the shuttle was not well designed in the first place by trying to put a crew in the reusable booster, so it had to be redesigned with solid rockets, and I didn't agree with that. And it ended up being quite a large vehicle to satisfy the Air Force needs for a big sure. reconnaissance satellite and a one-orbit mission returning to the same place that because of rotation, moved 1,500 miles to the east.
Sure. Not to interrupt you, but in the time we have, we're reaching the halfway point here.
Sure.
I'm going to skip this network break. You cover a lot of this in Magnificent Desolation, which is a magnificent book. But something I saw you get really excited about was on C-SPAN. You talked about this monolith on the tiny potato-shaped moon of Mars. And I knew about its moon. I didn't know about this monolith. And you got really sparkly-eyed and animated about this. Tell us about this monolith and why you want to land on that moon first.
Well, I want to land on the moon first, whether it has a monolith or not, because it orbits around Mars in 7 hours and is quite close, much, much closer than our moon is to the Earth. And from that moon, people can control robots, rovers, all sorts of assembly processes, chem- chemical processes, fuel processes, and other things on the surface without endangering the crew, and it's much easier to take people there, actually, than it is to take people to and from our moon. Because of the smallness of it, it takes longer to get there, and when you get there, you have to stay longer. So it's a significant challenge, but it is a major, safe stepping stone before going to the surface of Mars, and can be approached in inspiring, logical steps from low Earth orbit, doing things that increase our capability, some in the direction of our moon, but not landing on our moon. Instead, we have the experience to be the leaders of international nations, other nations, sending their astronauts or tachonauts to land on the moon. And
so are you saying, Mr. Aldrin, that this should be an international mission?
Well, everything should be. The space station is international. We need refueling or going elsewhere in space. And that should be commercial, not national, not government controlled, and that certainly means international. Now the monolith just happens to be a location of a Marsology, not geology, feature that is a physical structure, but it is very, very curious, and it's quite close to where we would like to land. And Canadian studies extensively of going to Phobos for science, the science team has said, go for the monolith. So they think that is sufficiently scientifically attractive, and it's close to where you want to be to observe from there the planet Mars itself.
Well, Commander Aldrin, isn't this interesting? We have 2001 Space Odyssey. We have this, what looks like almost a perfect monolith on this moon. And then here you are, one of the first moonwalkers. When the Eagle lands, you're wanting to, you're on television saying we need to go there to see this monolith. You're saying it's very curious. And again, I saw your eyes light up on television. What is your gut this monolith is, or what are a Marsologist saying it could be?
My opinion and the Marsologist's opinion don't guide public opinion and curiosity for the unusual and the bizarre. We need lots and lots of public discussion about the pros and cons of going anywhere.
No, I mean, certainly it's a way to get people interested. I see that. But okay. What do you think this is? I mean, tell me what your gut, or as a person, a doctor who studies this, what does this look like to you?
It's a big, big, tall rock. Now, I can say it looks like maybe a crude construction device by some creatures who practiced on Phobos and then landed in Egypt and built the pyramids. I don't really believe that, but some people are liable to think that.
Well, I'm looking at it. It's got what looks like really clean-cut edges, and it's got a smooth top. And I never even cover this stuff, Mr. Aldrin. Buzz Aldrin on the phone with us here from California. This is just amazing to have you and others talking about it. And I see all your excitement dealing with it. Let me ask you in this way. What do you believe the destiny of humanity is? Because a lot of people feel like this species is far older than we even know. What do you believe man's destiny will be if we have the vision to go off-world? I mean, in a big way.
Well, I think sooner or later, the Earth is just liable to be impacted by something that we, as humans, with all our technology, could not prevent. And it would be a good idea, thousands of years maybe in the future, or 2 weeks in the future, to have a survivable off-planet species to keep pain going. Not just for the benefit of unborn people, but think of the lives, the history that the human species has had here on Earth,
mm-hmm.
and to have that wiped out. It's not just the lives of the future.
Well, Dr. Aldrin, what was it, Saturn that got hit by Shoemaker-Levy, the big comet that broke up? I mean, they said if that hit the Earth, that would have basically killed all life on the planet, or at least knocked out our civilization.
No, that was Jupiter.
Jupiter, that's right, Jupiter.
Well, and we just might find indications of a very crude form of life that might have arisen at Mars and then been transported to Earth. So it might be the beginnings of life on Earth that thrived, whereas it died out on Mars.
Are you saying we might be Martians?
Well, we're a long evolution away. I don't believe that means that there were rocket ships somehow that left Mars and landed here on Earth.
But meteor impacts, you're saying, which we know send Martian rock here, could have brought it?
Yeah.
Or vice versa?
Yeah.
Going back, because that was so intriguing, you're saying it's similar to some of the things we see in Egypt,
No. I'm just saying
the obelisk.
There is a lot of conjecture as to who built the pyramids.
No, I understand.
I'm pretty well convinced that they were slaves that were conned into building this edifice for the pharaohs.
Yeah.
So the pharaohs could get to the other side in the Holy Land and put in a good word for all the slaves who built the pyramids.
Sure, I understand your view now.
Talk about a Ponzi scheme. That was the biggest con game I ever saw.
Well, Buzz Aldrin's our guest right now, author of Magnificent Desolation that I hold in my hand. What I'm getting at is this, and I respect you and I appreciate you coming on the show. I know we have advanced technologies. I know we have incredible men and women. I know we have amazing can-do spirit. We also know that there are a lot of secret military programs, a lot of advanced technology. We see astronauts hinting at it, hinting at knowing about things. And this is not even a UFO show. We just see other astronauts that say they've seen things out there. We've seen video from the space shuttle of things flying around. I was just wondering your view on life in the solar system outside Earth.
We have zero evidence of any life in our solar system other than that which we can observe here on Earth. And I think the distances involved to even the closest star, having written a detailed science fiction story about another civilization from Alpha Centauri that had compelling reasons to advance their technology and to visit the Earth, they failed in their efforts to do that for logical reasons. But I don't believe they exist there on Alpha Centauri, nor do I believe they exist on other places.
It's hypothetical.
A good story, but I believe the distances involved make it extremely improbable for any advanced life forms to be very close and within reach for star travelers from Earth for thousands and thousands of years. However,
what about cold space? What about
millions of years, I believe, that certainly creatures from Earth could have the technology to visit the closest star, Alpha Centauri, and other stars, if we have a good reason to do that. And the demise, the extinction of life on Earth probably is a good reason to want to invest the resources to reestablish civilization on some other star system. But that's very, very remote.
Sure. Do any of your colleagues have suspicions about the monolith?
Well, I've asked them to try and be interested and support the things that I've been doing. And there's very very little response. There's one that didn't fly to the moon, and some others who are shuttle people who are certainly interested in helping me advance progress of human spaceflight.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Aldrin, I always wanted to ask you this. We saw the photos, the little Masonic flag to the moon and some of the names of the missions and the numerology. Is there anything to that, or what is the Masonic influence? We know there's a Masonic influence in the founding of the country. What is the Masonic influence on NASA?
As far as I can tell, zero. There were some Masonic brothers of mine in Texas that wanted me to take some kind of a Masonic emblem to the moon in some gesture of, I don't know what it would be a gesture of, but I told them that it was not within my my authority to do such a thing.
Absolutely. One of the astronauts left a photo of his family, though, there.
Oh, yeah. I think that's perfectly legitimate. I left several things, coins from Soviet cosmonauts killed, a patch from the Apollo 1, messages from 72 leaders of the world, and an olive branch gold pin that was my contribution.
Wow. Well, again, it's just amazing getting to talk to you. The book is Magnificent Desolation. Let me bring up one other subject and then end on a very positive note. It's a great book. This has gotten a lot of attention lately. What do you think of the people that mistrust the government and the system so much that they say you guys couldn't have gone to the Van Allen radiation belt and that it was all a Stanley Kubrick film production?
Well, I think they are self-serving individuals looking for attention, preying on gullible people. And they wouldn't exist if it were not for the gullible people who also like to encourage thinking about unrealistic, unsubstantiated things and titillate the public.
Yeah.
And that includes all sorts of people. I hate to say it, but it includes yourself. But I sure understand that's humanity. That's the way we operate. And I'm not beyond using that to help publicize the reality of things and the
model. Well, sure, but I mean, Dr. Aldrin, we have to question. I mean, that's a human trait. I tend in the other direction because I know people that worked actually, you know, on the mission with the RCA cameras and things, and they say they believe it was real. My issue is I know it goes in the other direction. I've talked to people, former head of Star Wars and others. They say there's so much classified stuff, space planes, that the real space program is robotic, and that it, most of it's military. You have any comments on that?
Well, a robotic space program is much, much cheaper than a human one, and if I were financing the military, I would be pretty skeptical about sending military astronauts up there with all the expense if I could get the job done with robots. So, yeah, but I think there certainly are limits to what can be done with robots and still keep that somewhat cloaked from the general public. The people that accuse the government of improperly cordoning off areas like Area 51 from public trespassing, what do you think we want to do? Do you think we want to open up every avenue of classified defense of our country?
No, but I was just asking you, with your knowledge, Mr. Aldrin, about secret government programs, because that is obviously very, very interesting. The book is Magnificent Desolation, Buzz Aldrin with Ken Abraham, and it's an amazing book. You're an amazing person, and we really enjoy you being on. I'd like to say bye to you as we go to break here in 5 seconds before we let you go, Mr. Aldrin. But again, we really want to thank you for coming on with Magnificent
Desolation. We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi. Summer's coming, and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
In the New World Order's war against humanity, Barack Obama is the tip of the spear.
We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
The Obama deception completely destroys the myth that Obama is working for the best interest of the American people.
Well, Obama's already fudging. Yeah, fudged since day one in this election.
If you have a demagogue with a fanatical mass movement of personality cultists who is imposing the program of a group of extreme bankers and finance oligarchs, that's fascism.
It's not about left or right. It's about a one-world government. This film documents who Obama works for, the lies he has told, and his real agenda. Get your copy of The Obama Deception today at InfoWars.com or download it in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. The Obama Deception. The people strike back.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our family's health are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
Okay, we're going to do 5 more minutes with Commander, Colonel, Captain Buzz Aldrin, Doctor. The book is Buzz Aldrin, Magnificent Desolation. And he's going to come back for 5 minutes and break down, answer the people that say we didn't go to the moon or it was a hoax. So, Buzz Aldrin, you've got the floor, sir. Please break it down for us.
Well, he went to the moon. Their laser radar reflectors that are on the moon that we show pictures of that we brought back. And anybody who has a laser beam can send it to the moon and it'll bounce back to you and you can measure the frequency change. And that's why it's there, to measure how Africa drifts away from South America and other geological and scientific measurements like that. I think most important is the fact that we were clearly in a race with another highly technical, capable country, the Soviet Union, that claimed they never went to the moon, but they were preparing to, and they had landers, and they had people picked out. And, of course, after we were on the moon, they had rovers up there, so they fully had the ability to know whether we landed there or not. And they never joined the conspiracy that said that America never went to the moon. So I think that's the strongest argument But whatever it is, it's supported by gullible people that want to believe the bizarre, the unusual, the fantasy. And that's okay, because that's human nature, to be curious about things.
Well, I read a book by a prominent person who says we didn't go to the moon, and he says there's plants on the moon, and it has an atmosphere, and that it rotates. But everybody can look at the moon and tell it doesn't rotate, or at least, I mean, that's crazy.
Well, it rotates once a revolution around the Earth. That's the way it keeps the same side faced, because that's the minimum tidal effect that the Earth and the Sun have on the surface of the moon. And things tend to have friction, dissipate energy to a point where there is no friction anymore. And if you want to carry that to an extreme, if the Earth and the Moon were around long enough, the Moon would move further and further and further away until there was no tidal effect of the Moon on the Earth, and the same side of the Earth faced the Moon, and vice versa.
Yeah. What do you, when you bring up the Russian issue of them tracking the mission and they would have blown the whistle on us, I guess people then say that that was a conspiracy too?
I don't know what they say. I think they dodged the question.
What about the Van Allen radiation belt, though, with the film? Because I did talk to one of the guys on the RCA cameras, and he said, yeah, there was some film problem, but I guess sometimes the film would be okay, sometimes it wouldn't be, because I guess the belts are different strengths, or...
Well, you're passing through them pretty much of a hurry. We have a concern about what we call the South Atlantic anomaly, which is where some of the radiation dips down to lower altitudes, around maybe 400 miles above the surface of the Earth. So we don't want to send a spacecraft into that South Atlantic anomaly for long periods of time or many, many, many orbits. But certainly radiation detectors that went through the Van Allen belts, as scientific probes do all the time that are leaving the Earth and heading for geosynchronous, where we have our communication satellites, those are above the Van Allen belts. The communication satellites are essentially three diameters above the surface of the Earth, and the Moon is 10 times that distance away. The Moon Phobos is about one diameter of Mars away from the surface of Mars, and it goes around in 7 hours. So
wow.
Very, very much closer.
Well, Buzz Aldrin, the book is Magnificent Desolation. I'm not going to keep you any longer. I really appreciate your time. Maybe I can have you up sometime for a 30-minute interview just about your vision of going to Mars. I know humanity is reaching out to the stars, and I know we have incredible potential thanks to people like you and the courage that you and other astronauts have had. And I really do appreciate the time that you graciously spent with us. And I hope that before I become an old man, or even sooner, before you leave this planet many years from now, that we get to find out what that monolith or obelisk is on the moon of Mars. So,
okay, let me just say one more thing. We need a serious debate here before we begin to spend large, large amounts on going to Mars. And I don't think we need to do that for another 10 years. That's why we have a two-phase program. But
yeah,
the debate is, do we want to just go there a couple of times and then let the Congress spend the money on earmarks, or do we want to commit to permanence? That's continuous increasing settlements at Mars. That's the choice we need to make. And anything you folks can do to begin to address that subject, is it worth expending the money to send humans and their judgment and their curiosity and their investigation? Or do we want to do that with only robots? Because if I mean, our moon is a very hostile place. It's not inviting at all. And the same thing applies there. We can do robots much, much easier than of course on Mars, and I think better than humans on the moon.
But that's
too.
What I was going to say is it's good to send humans, isn't it? Because it keeps us in the game. If we start getting to where we only have robots, we might turn into, you know, over eons into creatures that don't even have arms and legs and just sit there as blobs like something out of WALL-E. Have you seen that movie WALL-E where there are all these blobs that
More important than that, other nations will go where we choose not to go.
Yeah, since you brought that up, let me just ask you this final question. We will let you go. Again, Buzz Aldrin, second to walk on the moon, a famous astronaut here, one of the most famous, if not the most famous, next to Neil Armstrong. There's been a call for globalism, global government, in saying then man can go to the stars. But this having a big global bureaucracy, I think, would actually stamp out a lot of innovation of the different nation states. What's your view on people that call for a new world order?
Well, they're seeking power where it perhaps is not deserved. Space-faring nations, those with the capability of sending objects for themselves or for others, are space-faring nations, and they're the ones, and only the ones, that should have a say. Otherwise, it's going to be, I want what some favored other nation has. So we do need international involvement, but we need strong leadership, and I think that's where the United States has the opportunity to be that leader.
But are you overall then, you don't like the globalism or world government then?
No, I like space-faring nations determine what goes up above 100 kilometers and what comes down and what protects the assets there.
Is that a good name for you, a spacefarer, not just an astronaut?
Well, yeah. I mean, below 100 kilometers, you can throw rocks, you can fire mortars, rocket grenades. You can do whatever you want, and we'll deal with those terrestrial problems of human rights, of piracy, of stealing, and all those other things. But let's have a separation for the benefit of what goes on, because things can collide with each other, and eventually irresponsible actions, accidentally or on purpose, can prohibit the use of space by anybody just because there's too much up there and it'll run into anything that you want to put up there for useful purposes. It'll knock out your DirecTV. It'll knock out your weather
forecast. What do you think of the weaponization of space? I mean, you think that's a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't call that weaponization. I call that prudent behavior. If you have assets in space and some rogue nation can threaten you, you should have the ability to defend yourself against those hostile acts.
But the country that gets a dominance in space could then set up an off-world system and really almost split into two species, have the dominant empire that's space-based, and then kind of the suboid minions back on Earth. I guess those are debates we should be having, though.
Well, I think that we all like the pleasures down here, and those are subject to conflict. I think we need to be judicious, and I think you're projecting way far ahead to have a space species only that's in conflict with a terrestrial species only.
Now, I know, but you know, a couple of hundred years is the blink of an eye, and the way technology is advancing and developing, I just read some of the white papers put out by governments about what they believe is going to happen, even here on the Earth with genetic engineering and the rest of it. Again, Buzz Aldrin, we've been so honored to have all this time with you. Feel free, if you've got anything else you'd like to add or if you need to go, we'll say a farewell, bon voyage to you.
I got to go. When you got to go, you got to go.
Buzz Aldrin, you're a really nice fella and have a lot of courage, and we really appreciate you coming on with us.
All righty. Thank you.
Take care. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Buzz Aldrin, 45-minute interview. I skipped a break. I do that more and more. I had Alan Keyes on. All this is happening. So we have a fourth hour, though, you know, for the advertisers. And I said I was going to get into all this other crazy stuff. What happens is I got these great producers out here. We got Jaron Neihart doing it, and we got Paul Hartman. We got Rob Dew. Rob Dew is doing computer and video editing. They're in here running the live TV show. And now that I got three producers who also do other jobs, but three of them, I mean, it's just like, hey, want Buzz Aldrin? Yeah, get him. Hey, want this person? Want that person? They really do a great professional job. Want to commend the team out there for getting Buzz Aldrin. Look, ladies and gentlemen, I've had Schmidt on, Dr. Schmidt, now I've had Dr. Aldrin on. We're going to get all these astronauts on, and we're going to get some of them on that are talking about the advanced technologies and hidden agendas. But I dare somebody to get Buzz Aldrin up and then start being mean to him and tell him we didn't go to the moon. I have a lot of friends that think it's all a hoax and a fraud, and I have my questions, but analyzing it, I think it's clear they've got a lot of more advanced technology they don't want the public knowing about. And a lot of what we're shown is kind of the 1930s tinker toys. You heard when I brought up Wernher von Braun on the space shuttle, 1934, 1935. You know, that was accurate with Dr. Aldrin. They tell us the SR-71 Blackbird in service in the mid-1950s is the fastest plane we have. Now, if you believe that 50-plus years later, I don't know, what's 55 to 2009? That's 55, 54 years later. If you believe that a 54-year-old, 55, well, developed in 1950, it's really 59 years old, but in service in 55. If you believe a 59-year-old aircraft is the fastest aircraft we've got, you are insane. And we've already had a split off with the more advanced technologies in the military and corporate reservations. We need to have a larger debate about this, and so I brought Buzz Aldrin on about that. I just know this. There's a lot of credible criticism of moon landing being a hoax. But there's also a lot of it, like you take Behold a Pale Horse. People kept telling me, read it. I finally got it a few months ago and read the whole thing. I'd read about a third of it back in the late 90s. And there's plants on the moon. It rotates every day. You don't need a spacesuit on the moon. Jesus is killed by aliens with holograms. And it's in there. People then email me when I talk about that and say I'm a liar. It doesn't say that. Whatever. The book says that. Anybody who's read it knows that. But get Burmis is here, isn't he? He printed that off the other day. Get him to run that in. I want to show people that. The only point is that then I look at it and there's, you know, I have experienced people saying everything's a hoax because they don't believe anything can be real. Like they say it's fake that I snuck into Bohemian Grove. No, they arrested the Vanity Fair reporter last year, the People Magazine reporter, the CBS reporter. I got in and out by the grace of God, and probably because I snuck in with Mike Hansen. Most reporters sneak in by themselves. I thought two people would be good to throw them off. We really did, you know, put the Joker poster out and have people put them up in hundreds of cities nationwide. We really did start 9/11 Truth and expose that as an inside job. We really did come out and say they're going to use flu as a hoax for martial law. And now Ron Paul and Congressman Brown and former Congressman Dick Armey are saying that. And governors are writing letters, the Governors Association, to the president saying, we don't want 400,000 regular army in America. It's an unconstitutional power grab and takeover. And we have gotten, in many cities, over 75%. This is now coming out in Oregon and California and Michigan. In some towns, 75% of the school kids aren't taking the vaccines now because we woke people up. I know we can affect change. I know we have power as a species. I know we can do incredible things. And I know I've talked to people with national security letters and people who are high-level retired engineers and people that ran the cameras and all the rest of it, and they say the word is there was a whole nother space program even more advanced going on and that what we were seeing was tinker toys. And so it was theater, but only theater. I mean, did you hear Aldrin hinting at aliens and hinting at Egypt and hinting at monoliths and obelisks and then putting it out and then pulling back and how excited he got on TV? And I've talked to other astronauts off record. I've talked to other people that know astronauts, and they say it's just you couldn't imagine what's really going on. And I know that gets into coast-to-coast territory, but this is the, you know, something's going on. I don't know what it is. And it was just amazing interview. So there you have it. Yeah, I know you can do real things. I also know there are hoaxes and frauds. But I want you to believe in yourselves. You know, let's say I'm bad, which I'm not. I mean, I'm the real deal. It's by proven by my fruits. The New World Order hates what I'm doing. But regardless, let's just say I'm bad for the sake of argument. Don't let that stop you from taking action, getting involved, reaching out to other people, waking them up. Now, I'm going to talk about the Joker contest in the final segment. Tomorrow, I will start the show. I don't have anybody on the first hour, do I? We got more big guests coming up this week. Oh, you ought to wait till the guest I got coming up in October. It's going to blow your mind. But about this whole picture of the vaccines and how they're killing people and how the flu shot in the trials is killing a bunch of people. But the good news is it's coming out. It's a fraud. It's coming out. It's on purpose. Every major guest I have on is aware of world government and eugenics and against it. Buzz Aldrin was just against the New World Order. You know, I mean, I don't know what to say. It's just amazing things are happening, and we all have incredible power in this world to control our destiny.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh. Healthy. Easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
In the New World Order's war against humanity, Barack Obama is the tip of the spear.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
The Obama deception completely destroys the myth that Obama is working for the best interest of the American people.
Well, Obama's already fudging. Yeah, fudged since day one in this election.
If you have a demagogue with a fanatical mass movement of personality cultists who is imposing the program of a group of extreme bankers and finance oligarchs, that's fascism.
It's not about left or right. It's about a one-world government. This film documents who Obama works for, the lies he is told, and his real agenda. Get your copy of The Obama Deception today at InfoWars.com or download it in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. The Obama Deception. The people strike back.
Did you know that there are tiny hidden radio transmitters, also known as RFID chips, in millions of passports, credit cards, and licenses? In the current state of the economy, it's no surprise that identity theft has increased. With current technology, thieves can purchase a simple device online that allows them to steal your credit card number and other personal information by scanning your wallet or purse. Think of this identity theft device as a garage door opener. You push a button and within a certain distance, your door opens. Thieves get near you, push a button, and these tiny radios give out personal information. Put a stop to identity theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. Here you will find radio-blocking secure sleeves. Simply place your credit cards and passports into these slim, lightweight sleeves, and you will put a stop to anyone trying to collect your private information. For around $5, you will be protected against RFID theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. That's IDStronghold.com. Or call 1-800-610-2770. 1-800-610-2770 today.
Look, I hate to do this, but I got a bunch of emails and phone calls the office saying I was a liar about this. Here is the secret government, chapter 12, Behold the Pale Horse. There are areas on the moon where plant life grows and even changes in colors with the seasons. And then it goes on to say that it has an atmosphere and rotates. Okay, you can't make this up. Here's the part about aliens and holograms. Now, I read this when somebody sent this to me in the late 90s and laughed at it. So there. That's what I say to people. That, I mean, this is the guy that claims that I'm a transvestite at public events wearing nipple bobbers. I mean, I'm sorry. It's just people keep asking me to respond to this. Okay, look, I don't believe there's plants on the moon, and I don't get up at Academy Award events wearing nipple bobbers. I mean, I just can't handle it anymore. People keep asking me to respond. You really want me to go deeper into this? It's a raving liar. There you go. You got what you wanted. I'm talking about it. If the people say I'm a liar, that it doesn't need to get worse. It gets more insane. Plants and the moon rotates and has seasons and turkeys flying by or something. I mean, it's just absolutely insane. All right. I just had Buzz Aldrin on. I'm talking about this because it gets into the moon stuff. People are like, have you read this about the moon? So I read it, and it's like plants and the moon. Well, you know. That doesn't mean I don't think there's some hoaxing going on. But the info I've been given is because they don't want anybody to see the real technology they've got. I believe we're being lied to. Let's get that straight. Okay, look, I'm out of time. I'm going to start the show tomorrow with 45 minutes on the big picture of the staged flu, the martial law, finally getting traction, mainline congressman, former congressman, governor's association, talking about martial law, troops. It's really happening. And knowing it's happening and knowing it's wrong and people speaking out beforehand will nix them being able to do this. Then the COINTELPRO will attack and say, see, it didn't happen. But that's okay. At least we still have our country and our economy and our future. So we've been right. It's all coming true. Exactly as we said, you have all done a job off the charts good. You've all done a job off the charts good. Dealing with the Obama Joker posters with Infowars.com. We're going to do one that says bank heist, bank robber. We're going to do one that says liar. We're going to do one that says end the war. They're all up on the flyer page at Infowars.com. Just click on the contest page. We're making a bigger article about it all. It's about the First Amendment. It's about free speech worldwide. It's about the people seeing the power of going out and engaging in the First Amendment. Obama said in the Washington Post to his members to stick favorable posters of him on stop signs. We said do only what's legal, and that's in commons areas where other signs are up, in areas where that's allowed. The media has a state investigation like we're Al-Qaeda. They're talking about the victims. It's all blown up on their face, their hypocrisy, their clear double standard. And this has resonated with people, and it's going to end up being bigger than the Andre has a posse thing that went on for a decade. You watch. These Obama posters, and it shows the power of the people just putting him up as a criminal destroys all of his power. And thus, all the New World Order agenda that's coupled up to him. I do want to, just in closing, encourage people to buy the different posters of Obama. Well, the posters are free. The different T-shirts, wear them. We've got the Bush Joker T-shirts, by the way, which are just absolutely scary. Our actual graphics lady did those. Really captures his demonic personality. We're going to create one with Bush on the back and Obama on the front and vice versa. That's about to go up on the shopping cart. Get the videos, get the books, get them out to people. And you also then fund us. When you support us to expand our operation, it's symbiotic. We're having great success against the globalists. They can be defeated. We just had Buzz Aldrin basically saying down with the New World Order. Huge guest, jam-packed. We had the Pale Horse Militia guy on the first part of the show. That's coming up now, Infowars.com. Great job, crew. That was a good transmission. Ha ha.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.